Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Remember, John 10 is the what we call the Good Shepherd. We're going to be looking at the first 10 verses this evening, so let's read those now. Starting at chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The parable of the sheepfold here in the first part of chapter 10 gets a little tricky because John uses that same illustration to point out two different things. And we'll see that as we get to it. But just by way of introduction, in John 10, it's the last public address of Jesus that we have recorded in John's Gospel. And John is going to use a metaphor of a sheepfold. He's going to use a metaphor of a sheepfold and a good shepherd, as opposed to bad shepherds. And this metaphor does two things, really. First, it distinguishes Jesus from the rest of the shepherds, the bad shepherds. It distinguishes the good shepherd from the bad shepherd. And secondly, it teaches the voluntary nature of his death. So we'll have those two key points in this parable. Chapter 10 seems to stand on its own. Chapter 10 is the good shepherd chapter. It's the parable of the good shepherd. But actually, it's quite closely connected with the context. It doesn't actually stand on its own. It's closely linked to chapter 9. Look back at chapter 9 and let's start reading at verse 40 and pretend that you don't have chapter divisions in your Bible, because remember, the original text didn't have chapter and verse divisions. They were added later. So let's just read it and see how it sounds if we skip that. In verse 40, it said, "Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, 'We are not blind too, are we?' Jesus said to them, 'If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep,'" and so on and so forth. There's no apparent break there. It flows along. And the words "truly, truly," you don't find them at the beginning of a discourse. You find them after the teaching, and they explain the teaching. So we're going to have a connection between those two chapters, 9 and 10. And if you look down at chapter 10 and verse 21, the blind man is mentioned again. Remember, chapter 9 was about the healing of the blind man, the man born blind. And in verse 21 of chapter 10, it says, "Others were saying, 'These are not the sayings of one demon-possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?'" So we're still in the same context that we were in chapter 9. Why do I bring that up? Well, it's going to play out like this. The teaching of chapter 10 is going to explain what happened to the blind man in chapter 9 and what the reaction of the Pharisees were to it. So the chapter 10 is going to explain what happened in chapter 9. Remember chapter 9, Jesus healed the man born blind, and the Pharisees would not accept it. They just would absolutely refuse to believe that he could do such a thing. Look at chapter 9. Remember the blind man? He was attracted to Jesus' teaching, and he's going to be just an example of the sheep of chapter 10. In verse 11, he started out seeing Jesus simply as a man. In verse 11 it says, he answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed and I received sight." So here he is, a man called Jesus. Now, down in verse 17, he says, "So they said to the blind man again, 'What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?' And he said, 'He is a prophet.'" Now he's gone from a man to a prophet, and a prophet was just about the highest thing you could say about a person. So probably the highest compliment he could possibly give. Down in verse 27, he sees Jesus as one who deserves his allegiance. 27 says, "He answered them, 'I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?'" So implying that he is a disciple. So he's deserving of allegiance. Verse 33, he sees him as from God when he says, "If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And in verse 38, he sees him as Lord. And in verse 38, it says, "And he said, 'Lord, I believe,' and he worshiped him." So we went all the way from seeing Jesus as a man to seeing him as Lord, to becoming a believer. So as a result of that, what happened? The religious leaders of Israel booted him out of the church. They kicked him out. He was excommunicated. So chapter 10 is going to be an explanation of this. And the man, the blind man, is going to be one of the sheep, and the Pharisees are going to be the false shepherds of chapter 10. And Jesus is the true shepherd. So those two chapters connect together. Now let's look at the presentation of the parable then in chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. First, we need to look at a sheepfold because it's not something most of us have. I don't have a sheepfold in my yard. And probably most of you don't either. Some of you may, I don't know. But let's look at what a literal sheepfold is first. The word fold is the Greek word aule, and aule typically means a courtyard. A courtyard. When it was used for sheep, what they did was they enclosed on all sides. Everything was enclosed. Now, if it was in town, they would be enclosed by buildings and fences. If it was in the country, it would be enclosed by some natural thing like rock walls. And we'll look at a photo of one in a minute. But the thing to remember about a sheepfold is it only had one entry point. In the town, it only had one side that had an entry. And in the country, is the one we'll look at is in the country, it only has one entry. Now, the purpose of the sheepfold was to contain sheep when there was trouble about, or at night, when there was wild animals around, when it was bad weather, when there was danger of any kind, they'd put the sheep in the sheepfold. Well, what happened was the sheepfold held not just one flock. It held several flocks of sheep. They shared them. So the shepherds would bring their sheep all to the sheepfold. And that's going to be the parable that Jesus uses to describe things here. Now, here's a photograph of a sheepfold. You see the gate here, or the entrance, and there's only one. It's completely surrounded on every other side, and this one is a cave. And you can see where the sheep would go to be protected from the bad weather. But there's only one door right up there above the shadow of the photographer's head. That's the only way in and out of the sheepfold. And that's important to remember for this parable. Because the sheepfold, he's going to say there's two ways of getting in this sheepfold for shepherds. They can come in through the door, or they can climb over the wall. And he's going to say that ones who climb over the wall, they're thieves and robbers. The real shepherds, they come to the door and call out their sheep. So that's going to be what he's using as an illustration. Now, this would have been very common to the people he was talking to. Now, to us, again, it isn't. And to us, remember, we drive sheep now. We get behind them and drive them. They did not do that. The shepherd walked in front of his sheep, and the sheep knew his voice, and they followed it. So keep that in mind, that they did things differently back then than we do now. They didn't have cattle prods and things like that. They just taught the sheep to know their voice, and the sheep followed them. Here's another sheepfold, about the same as the other one. See, there's a natural enclosure there where the sheep could be protected. And that's the literal meaning of a sheepfold. Now we get into the figurative meaning. Now, Jesus isn't talking about a literal sheepfold here. He's using a figure of speech or an allegory. What does it mean? What is the sheepfold? It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber." Now, some people say it's talking about heaven. Can't be heaven. Why can't it be heaven? Well, you can't get into heaven by climbing over the wall. You know, there's no other way into heaven. And in verse 3, it says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Does Jesus lead sheep out of heaven or into heaven? Well, obviously into heaven. So it can't be referring to heaven, the sheepfold. Can't be the church for those same reasons. Jesus doesn't call people out of the church. He calls people into the church. And you can't enter the church by climbing over the wall. There's no other way to get in. So what is the sheepfold then in this parable or illustration? Well, the sheepfold is Israel. He's talking about nation Israel here. Now notice in this illustration, in the two ways of entering, there are two ways of entering. And the first one is going to be by the thieves and robbers. And they come in over the wall. Now notice, what he's talking about here, entering the sheepfold, is not sheep. It's shepherds, not sheep. So the primary reference here is to what? The people he's been talking to, the religious leaders of Israel that he was talking to in chapter 9. So the Pharisees are going to be the subject of this comparison, actually, between them and him. So the Pharisees are the thieves and robbers. They're the ones, in the last part of verse 1, it says, "He who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber." And that's how thieves and robbers get in. They don't come in the door, they sneak in. And that's the illustration of the Pharisees. Now, thief and robber have two different meanings. What's a thief and a robber? A thief is one who operates by stealth. He sneaks around. A robber, on the other hand, is one who uses force. He's violent. So he calls them thieves and robbers. So what he's saying here is that the Pharisees snuck in to nation Israel, and they controlled nation Israel. How did they do it? Through violence and intimidation. And they backed it with force. Look at chapter 9 and verse 22, remember? Remember when the Pharisees went to interview the blind man's parents? They wanted to disprove that Jesus had healed a blind man. And in verse 22, well, first in verse 20, "The parents answered them and said, 'We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know. or who opened his eyes? We do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. So they're trying to get out. I don't want to be involved in this. Now, why didn't they want to be involved? It says in verse 22, his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. So they ruled Israel by intimidation. So you don't agree with us, we're booting you out. And this was on a matter of fact, not a matter of doctrine. It was simply a matter of fact. So the Pharisees in our parable of the sheepfold are the thieves and robbers. Now the two ways of entry then are first the thieves and robbers way. That is the ones they climb up some other way. They climb over the wall, get in the back, somehow sneak in. And then there's the proper way, the door entry way. And this will be in verses 2 through 6, and it will apply the figure to Jesus now. So the door entry is the proper way. Now verse 3 says, the doorkeeper presents the shepherd. Verse 3 says to him, the doorkeeper, well, let's look at verse 2. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. So this is the real shepherd, not a thief and robber. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So the real shepherd is presented by the doorkeeper. Verse 4, he's followed by his own sheep, the proper sheep. It says in verse 4, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. So he's followed out by the proper sheep, his own flock. And the issue is the voice of the true shepherd. Verse 5 says, a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, it's been actually documented that sheep, when you're trained this way, would run away from a strange voice, even if that person who had the strange voice, even if the false shepherd was wearing the real shepherd's clothing. So it wasn't a matter of scent or anything like that. They knew his voice. And if they didn't hear the proper voice, they would run away and not follow. Now this brings to mind an interesting little story. When I first got married, it was quite a while ago, Ruth's dad was still active in farming. He was still a farmer. And I used to go around with him sometimes when he did his stuff. And being a city kid, I didn't know what was going on. You know, I didn't have a clue as to what they were doing. But he had a pickup truck. And that pickup truck had the weirdest horn you've ever heard. Do you remember that horn, Ruth? Yeah, just a strange horn. It sounded like it was muffled. It had rags stuffed in it or something. And I asked him about, how come you have that goofy horn in your pickup? He said, well, that makes it easy when I go to feed the cattle because they recognize my horn from other horns. So he'd go out into the pasture and honk that bizarre horn on his pickup and all the cattle would come running because they knew it was chow time. That's the same idea with the sheep. They knew their shepherd's voice, and they followed it. So the key issue here is going to be the voice of the true shepherd. Now, verse 6 is a comment by John when he adds this figure of speech Jesus spoke to them. But they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So they didn't understand. So Jesus is going to have to go on to explain the meaning of the parable. The meaning of the parable links back to the Old Testament. Christ came and he claimed to be the shepherd of nation Israel. Well, if you look in the Old Testament, look at Isaiah 40. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10, Isaiah 40:10 says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." So that shepherd illustration would cause a link in the mind of these Jews. Who was the shepherd in the Old Testament? It was the Lord. Wow. Remember Psalm 23? You all know Psalm 23, right? That's what Jesus was claiming. So this is kind of a big deal to the Jews. They didn't like this at all. Now, he gave evidence through what he said and what he did that he was the Messiah of nation Israel. And the leaders of Israel were adamant, absolutely adamant, that this was not true. They didn't understand what he was talking about when he did the parable of the sheepfold. They thought he was just an imposter, blasphemous imposter. So the problem is this. If he's an imposter, how did he heal that blind guy in chapter 9? Now this indicated not only that he could heal physical blindness, but that he could cure Israel's spiritual blindness. 9:35. Remember, they put out the blind man because he would not say that Jesus didn't heal him. He wouldn't take their point of view. So they excommunicated him. In verse 34, it says, "So they put him out." And in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had put him out. And finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. So Jesus claimed not only to be able to heal the blind man's physical blindness, but he healed his spiritual blindness as well. So he claimed to be the shepherd of nation Israel. So this miracle raised the question, who is he? And again, the Pharisees were adamant, can't be the Messiah. We don't want him to be the Messiah. So Jesus answers by using this parable of the shepherd and the sheep. He's going to say, he is the true shepherd. How does he prove that? Well, first, he says that he entered through the proper door. He entered the sheepfold through the gate or the door like a true shepherd would. Look at verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." And that was the appointed way to enter. Those who scaled the wall, remember, they were the thieves and robbers. That was the Pharisees. And the fact that there were going to be false shepherds, that was predicted in the Old Testament as well. Look at Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah, and if you don't know where Zechariah is, go to Matthew and 2 to the left. Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew. And in Zechariah chapter 11, in verse 15 and 16, verse 15 says, "The Lord said to me, take again for yourself the equipment of a foolish shepherd. For behold, I am going to raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for the perishing, seek the scattered, heal the broken, or sustain the one standing, but will devour the flesh of the fat sheep and tear off their hooves. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword will be on his arm and on his right eye. His arm will be totally withered and his right eye will be blind." So there was a prophecy that there would be false shepherds. Now, Jesus not only entered the sheepfold through the gate, but he identified himself to the watchman. How did he do that? The watchman in this parable of the sheepfold is John the Baptist. He is the one who announced Jesus to the flock. Israel, nation Israel. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Remember, Malachi is one left of Matthew. And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Now, if you look at John chapter 1 and verse 29 says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said," and this is John the Baptist speaking, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he who, on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who is higher rank than I, for he existed before me." So John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the flock. So he's the true shepherd. He came in the door, he announced himself to the watchman, and was introduced to the sheep. Now, Jesus is the true shepherd, not just because of that one prophecy, but he came to Israel in accordance with every Old Testament prophecy regarding Messiah. He had his credentials, all of those prophecies. Now, none of the Pharisees had these credentials. So he was the only true shepherd who could offer proof that he was the true shepherd. Now, the Pharisees, they thought they were the shepherds. They loved that power, but they couldn't offer up the proof. And the sheep knew his voice. Now, the entire nation of Israel did not recognize him at first, did they, at his first advent? So all of the sheep didn't come out, but the ones that recognized his voice did. Can you think of an example? The blind man in chapter 9. He's one of the sheep that knew his master's voice and came out. Over the years, there have been Jews who hear their master's voice, recognize it, and come out of the sheepfold of Israel and become believers. There's always a remnant of Jewish believers. Jesus, then, is the true shepherd. Now, in verse 7 through 18, Jesus is going to make an application. And he's going to make an application of this parable, or two applications, actually. Two applications. The first, Jesus as the door. And he's going to switch the parable a little bit. He's going to be talking about the same door, but he's going to be talking about it to illustrate a different point. That's in verse 7 through 10. Jesus as the door into the sheepfold. And in verse 11 through 18, which we'll look at next week, is going to be Jesus as the good shepherd as opposed to the bad shepherds. So first, Jesus as the door. That's verse 7 through 10. Verse 7 says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.'" So the door image is based on the same sheepfold that we looked at earlier. Just one entryway, the door. But now, Jesus, in this parable, is going to be the door itself. Remember, in the first, in 1 through 6, he was the shepherd that came through the door to get his sheep. Now he's going to be the door itself. So the illustration is going to be used to illustrate a different point. He's going to do it a little different way. This is quite common in the Gospel of John. Remember when Jesus said he was the bread of life back in chapter 6? And then in chapter 6:51, he said he's the one that gives the bread of life. So it's a little different way of looking at the same illustration. And Jesus says he speaks the truth, and then he turns around and says, "I am the truth." And He shows us the way, and He is the way. You see how that, it's the same illustration, it's just illustrating something different. Now here, remember the sheepfold was surrounded on all sides with only one opening. And that opening provided the only possible way for the sheep to enter. Now we'll be looking at the sheep coming in. So the sheepfold in verse 1 through 6 was Israel. Here the sheepfold is going to represent salvation. And Jesus is going to be the door itself. So he's kind of switching meanings here. Remember, we're talking about the entry of the sheep now, not the shepherds. So it gets a little confusing here, doesn't it? But it isn't if you keep it in mind who's coming in. Is it the shepherd or the sheep? If it's the shepherd, he's talking about Israel. If it's the sheep, then he's talking about salvation. In verse 7, when he says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.'" The I is emphatic in the Greek. Jesus is the exclusive entryway into salvation. There's only one door, and He's it. He and He alone can determine who goes through the door. Remember in John 14 and verse 6, probably most of you have this memorized. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So he's the door in this use of the illustration of the sheepfold. Now verse 8 gives us a contrast between Jesus and the ones who came before him. Verse 8 says, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." So the contrast here is between Jesus and the Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees in particular, of his day. Notice it says, "All who came before me are thieves." It doesn't say were thieves. So he's talking about the ones that are still there. So he's not talking about the Old Testament prophets. He's not talking about the Old Testament leaders of Israel. He's talking about these Pharisees who came before him to nation Israel. And the logic here is this. The true shepherd came to get his sheep first thing in the morning. Anyone who came before that must have been a thief or a robber because he came at night. So he's saying he is the true shepherd. Now verse 9 and 10 tell us the blessings then for the sheep when it says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me," that is the door to salvation, "he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Now the words "through me" here are very emphatic. And notice what he says. If anyone enters through me, it's a universal invitation to salvation. It's extended to anyone. Anyone enters through him, he will be saved. The word "enters" in verse 9, "if anyone enters through me," kind of interesting grammatically, is that it's an aorist tense verbal. That means it's an action. It's not a process. You go through the door, you're saved. It's not a process of 17 steps to salvation. You go through the door, you're saved. And that's it. The words "in and out" don't refer to being saved and being lost and being saved and being lost. What it refers to is free, secure access. You have access if you go through that door. Now, verse 10 talks about fullness of life. And this verse is often used a little bit incorrectly, I think. And verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And normally you'll only hear the last half of that verse quoted. They won't bother with the first part because if they do that, then they have to put it in context and that ruins everything. When he says the abundant life, he is referring not to physical life, but to spiritual life. Eternal life. So it's not a reference to your daily course of life. And some people make it that. They'll say, well, you know, this guarantees that a believer is going to have a cakewalk. And that just simply isn't true. And the Bible never, ever, ever says that. In fact, it says quite the opposite. It says if you're a believer, you will, in all likelihood, suffer. So the promise of the Bible is not an easy life. The Bible doesn't promise that. The promise of the Bible is spiritual growth, maturity. That's what the Bible promises, maturity. And then, only if we work at it, it's not automatic. Just because you become a believer and you've been a believer for 37 years doesn't mean you've matured. It takes work. And we've noticed that in 1 and 2 Peter. So we studied those on Sunday. So the promise of the Bible is an abundant spiritual life. Again, this verse is often misused. Now we'll stop here this evening, and in the next time we'll talk about the Good Shepherd, and he's going to explain why his death is completely voluntary. Why? Because the Good Shepherd will guard his sheep to the point of laying down his life for them. And that's going to be next week's class. So, Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this chapter in the book of John. We pray that we can study it accurately and that we can learn from it what you would like us to learn from it. We also pray that we will base our decisions as we go through life based on what you teach us in your wonderful word. In Christ's name, amen.